LA Talk Radio thanks you for being a listener. Did you know you too can host your own radio show with us? Go to our site at latalkradio.com or email info@latalkradio.com right now and start your show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up.
Dude, you're like singing into the microphone, Dimitri.
Been doing it all day.
All the way from Canada.
I've been serenading.
All the way from Vancouver Island.
That's right.
Mr. Dimitri Sereny. Oh. Thank you. Dude, a long commute for you.
It is, yeah.
But you made it.
For you.
And
for you, for your listeners.
How have you been? I haven't seen you in a couple months, and you've had some family in town.
That's right. I had family
running
visiting.
Around. You've had brush fires near you.
Yeah, forest fires. Not near me, actually. Pretty far away, but the smoke came all the way to Vancouver Island. And
are you ready for smoky. Hockey season? Are you getting ready?
Yeah, you see.
How do you think?
If people knew how I was dressed out there, they would know. Yeah, I'm in my gear. I'm missing it. I think I mowed the lawn in my hockey jersey not too long ago.
You're like, it's time.
It's way time. Yeah.
So, you know, you're a big Vancouver Canucks fan.
That's right.
But they've been kind of having some disappointing seasons the last like three or four years.
And they will be, I think, for a few
really?
Years.
You think there's no chance?
They're in
no
full
playoff
rebuild
hopes.
Mode. No, I mean, there's always the hope. That's why we watch the game, but not realistically, no. I don't think it's happening.
And you know,
I mean, the Lakers, right? That's
Lakers.
Your team. And
that's my team.
And how is it? You know, I'm not a big NBA guy. So
I love the Lakers.
What's
so
going
much,
on there?
And there's just nothing. There's nothing going on with
really?
The Lakers.
How about drafts? Any new drafts?
Yeah,
anything?
There's a couple
prospects?
Players. They've made some drafts where they've actually, like, all the fans are kind of pissed because some major drafts that they had have not been panning out in, like, the summer leagues.
Right.
So, yeah, the players have time, but you know, you see this like spark of brilliance from somebody like a Kobe Bryant.
Right.
And you knew that in 4 or 5 years he would be leaving
the team.
Who's
the next Kobe Bryant?
That's, like in I don't
the
think
NBA,
we have
any,
one.
Or, you know,
LeBron James.
Well, yeah, besides, like, who's that kind of
Kevin
caliber?
Kevin Durant. I mean,
but like a young guy, is there anything, you know, anyone?
They say Nick Young is like a young, budding player, but I don't think
and
he's
who
on
drafted
that level.
Nick Young? How
the Lakers
old
did
the Lakers
years
did.
Ago,
okay.
But
right.
we recently traded him, I think.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, it's just kind of, it's a bummer.
People are probably laughing out there that I didn't know who Nick Young was.
Well, you know, it's tough because basketball is such a different game now.
Yeah.
Like hockey.
Yeah.
It's like the Kings were on top of the heap.
They were.
And then they just kind of like made some bum trades.
It's
and
funny. It's very, you know, now with the salary caps, it's very cyclical. You know, it comes and goes in waves, teams. And it's a good thing, I guess. You know, everybody gets to be on top at one point. You know?
Well, the amazing thing is like with any sport to see like an underdog come out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then all of a sudden you see, I mean, I'm talking about an individual player. A player like Steph Curry, I didn't know anybody was talking about until
right.
he started just killing it, you know.
Yeah.
So there's always the chance that somebody will just turn something out. Maybe a Canuck, maybe a future Laker.
Yeah.
We'll see, man.
We'll be hoping.
Enjoying the SoCal weather?
Yeah, I love it. It's great, yeah. I mean, it's hot, but, you know. It is.
Good
nice.
Thing you're wearing your flannel.
I'm wearing my flannel shirt. Yeah,
you got to represent Canada.
I do.
So
it
we're going to go
well
see a movie
shirt.
After this. So you
are.
Must be super excited.
I
about
am
this movie.
Extremely excited. You
Tell
know,
us a
you know,
about
I don't
movie.
Get I don't get out much anymore now. With
you
know,
have a 3-year-old, right?
I got a 3-year-old. I'm married. I work. You know, it's tough to to find some time to go see a movie. So I'm excited we're going to go see a movie.
What was the last movie you saw in a theater?
What was the last movie I saw? You know what? I don't remember.
Damn.
It's been that long. You know what? I think it was Rogue One with you.
No.
Yeah.
That was months ago.
That was months ago. That was the last movie I saw.
Well, I saw Dunkirk, and I loved that movie.
Oh, yeah. I hear it's great.
Yeah. It's got mixed reviews, but I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. Dunkirk was an awesome movie.
I can't wait till it's out on Blu-ray.
I just saw Jumanji.
Yeah, that's
I've never seen that before.
I love that movie.
I heard they're remaking that movie. I saw Passengers. Did you tell me Passengers was great?
I liked it.
Did you tell me it was great?
I don't know.
I think you told me.
Passengers is like the Castaway in space kind of thing.
Passengers is great, man.
I don't know. I could have said that. Okay. I liked it. I really enjoyed it.
Very okay. But it was cool. It was a fun movie.
It was cool, yeah. See, there you go.
It was a fun movie.
Yeah, it was a fun movie.
But it's like sometimes fun movies take that like deep turn where you're just like, ooh, that hurts. That's terrible.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of touristy activities. We've had some company in
town. Right. You had a lot of guests. So what did you do?
I got a henna tattoo. You can see this dragon with a treble clef that's backwards. That's right.
Didn't Madonna bring that into style? Or?
No, Indians did from many moons ago.
Okay, all right.
You're just like part of pop culture. That's You're like, henna tattoos, Madonna.
I didn't know that.
Kabbalah.
That was a thing before, but.
It was.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what's crazy?
What is?
That henna tattoo artist took maybe 5 minutes to do this.
That's amazing.
And it was $30.
Wow.
And he did.
He must be making a killing.
I was like, shit, this guy did not do that much.
Right.
And he made about $120 in 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Think about that for a second.
How many hours do you think he works?
He probably works 5 hours and probably makes $400 a day.
Wow.
Easily. Because you're in Venice Beach.
Right.
There's tons of tourists.
Yeah.
He literally has to do a drawing maybe about this, you know.
Probably tax-free, too.
5 inches.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's cash.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't take any cards or anything. I don't even know his name. It's not even a real business, I'm sure.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was just like, this guy literally just draws dragons and starfish and, you know, dragonflies.
I think we're in the wrong profession.
Dude, trust me. I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Me too.
But
keeps me up at night.
But you know what? It's also fun. That's the joy. That's the joy of what we do. If it was easy, like that guy, he's reached his cap. You know, like it's like he's drawing henna tattoos on people, and nothing. There's no greener pasture than, you know.
I wonder what his dream is.
He probably is like, I just hope I see some boobies of some sort and get to do a henna tattoo on some boobies.
He's living the dream, then.
He's living the dream. When was the last time you went to Venice Beach?
I'm trying to think. Probably a couple of years ago. I used to go every once in a while. It's a fun place to see how it evolves.
Yeah. But like things change and then things don't
change. A lot of cool street artists, you know, that do cool things.
And the culture is kind of changing too. So some of the freaky parts of Venice Beach are kind of slowly getting run out. So it's kind of weird to see that.
Yeah.
But went to the Santa Monica Pier, went to Griffith Observatory, did like, you know, some of the Hollywood tours in L.A., and, like, it always rejuvenates my love of this city. Like, this city has got some magic to it.
It is amazing.
It's always bustling. There's always shit going on. There are always celebrities, like, hanging about, walking around. I mean...
Yeah, we saw Dave Navarro the other day.
Yeah, we saw Dave Navarro yesterday.
Every single time, you know.
We just saw Jay Moore outside of our studio five minutes ago.
Very cool, nice guy.
Very cool guy. Yeah. Very cool guy. And it's just like, you know, that's Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's like, really, that's Los Angeles. But... You know, it's also there's other parts about it. Like there's so many cars.
What was the most fun thing you did during that time?
Last week,
yeah.
What
did you enjoy the most?
I think honestly, being at the Santa Monica Pier, being by the water, I love that.
Yeah.
Just like you know what, I don't go to Santa Monica all the time, especially the pier. And just being there and I had a strawberry daiquiri, virgin strawberry daiquiri, but on the pier, and I was just like, dude, this is great.
Right.
You know, like the weather's beautiful. There's beautiful people everywhere. It's quiet, but like there's a lot of energy, and then there's just beautiful water everywhere. You know?
Now, didn't you shoot a video at Santa Monica Pier?
I did. You're acting so surprised.
Oh yeah.
You know what's so funny? I did that video, and like now walking back to the pier, I was like, how did we pull that off? Because it is so crowded there. There are so many people, so many little kids. I don't know how we did it, but yeah, I'm happy that we did it, and it was. you know, one of those experiences that just happened to be simple, quick, and we were in, we were out. And that's that.
Yeah, it just fades away in the memory, huh?
Look at you, just making pun after pun.
Oh, man.
So you've come here from Vancouver.
Yeah.
You're working on
Victoria,
music.
Victoria, yeah. Yeah, I'm Vancouver Island, yeah.
Well, it's the same difference.
No,
we're Americans.
Really.
We don't give a shit.
Really. Well, you might as well say Canada, then. You came from Canada.
You came from... So are you a big Trudeau fan?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's a good guy, yeah.
Do Canadians, they think he's like the pride of Canada?
It could be worse, you know?
Yes. Well, we have Trump. Maybe not for long, but is Trudeau like the pride of Canada? Like, do Canadians say, man, he's the best?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, it's mixed. You know, some people say they love him, some people don't love him, and like everywhere, you know.
What's the best thing he's done for Canada?
I don't know. It's like so
and
many
we're
things.
All out of time.
No, so many things, I mean.
Like? Go
like,
on.
You know, he's trying to legalize marijuana. That's and he's definitely making an effort to be more environmentally friendly, although, you know, it's a tough transition. You can't please everybody when it comes to that. And, yeah, and definitely helps with our, you know, foreign policies and, you know, the way other countries look at us. It's a good thing. So people, you know.
Would you vote for him?
Yeah, I did vote for him, actually.
And are you going to vote for him again? Or he can only do one term?
No. He can go for a very long time.
But really?
Yeah. I mean, Harper was, I think, almost 10 years. Right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Damn,
yeah,
Dimitri, yeah. Giving us some Canadian history over here.
Yeah.
This is how the world works.
Exactly. Right?
And we're all out of time. Just kidding. Well, anyways, I think our special guest has arrived. Comedian Rajiv Satyal. Say hello.
Hello.
The studio audience loves you, man.
Yeah.
I love them. I love them.
They gave you just as much of a pause for you as for Dimitri.
I'm so happy and in good company here with this Canadian fellow.
See this? We, you know,
you're
technically,
too kind. You're too kind.
If we have the three of us, yeah. We have an Oreo cookie, I think.
Yeah, that's a fact. So, yeah. That is a fact.
I get to be in the middle. Lopsided, yeah, yeah.
A very lopsided cookie.
When you say lopsided, are you saying that I'm the...
I better be on top because I'm definitely the thin part of that cookie, that's I believe. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, yeah. You think, are think, you sure? Think you think we should fair. Measure? We should probably measure.
Let's, we can measure. In the picture afterwards that we post, the audience
yeah,
can vote.
Yeah,
so we'll do how one. We'll look. Do one Oreo cookie and yes. Then picture. And then
I
we'll
think that'll be the first 100% vote in the history of Twitter.
Maybe.
No, not maybe. No, there's no doubt.
Maybe. Rajiv, I haven't seen you in 10 years.
I cannot believe you're one of the first people I met when I got to LA. That's true. And I got here in May of 06, and I think I met you a few months after that.
And then you're just like, everybody sucks compared to Nikki.
Mostly that.
Seriously.
Mostly that, yeah. Even Jay Moore, I was like, this guy's great, but I mean, he thinks that you met him, but he met you tonight.
You know what? That's the way it went down in my mind.
That's what happened.
It really is.
That's what they say with etiquette. You're supposed to introduce the person to the important person. So if you're like, hey, Nikhil, I'd like you to meet Paul McCartney. You don't go, hey, Paul, I want you to meet Nikhil. You're supposed to, from an etiquette standpoint, do it the other way.
Wow. Well, go ahead, Dimitri.
Subtle dig. Yeah. Go ahead, Dimitri. Yeah.
Subtlety.
There you go. Simple.
So where did you hail from when we first met?
I was born and raised Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, mine too. My gods. I'm Hindu, so we have lots of gods. So.
You got to be a LeBron fan.
I am a very big LeBron fan, actually.
And then you probably hated him, too, and then you went back to love him.
No, because I'm from Cincinnati, not Cleveland, and so that's the other side of the state. And when you're out in California, I feel like I root for anything from Ohio.
Right.
Unless they're going to play, like, one of my teams. So I love the Cleveland Indians now, although I lived in Cleveland for a couple of years. But if they're playing the Cincinnati Reds, then I'm going to root for the Reds.
Right.
Right. Like, I'd even root for the Browns to win.
Are you a Bengals fan?
I was, but I disowned them at the end of, I think, two seasons ago. Because I just think they suck.
You're
so
like,
bad.
Dude, this is terrible.
I hate them. I just think the way they lost to the Steelers on a couple of personal fouls, gave away this game. It was in the playoffs a couple of years ago. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired of defending these guys. So I hate the Bengals, but I went to the University of Cincinnati. I'm a Bearcat to the end. I bleed red. I'm a Cincinnati. Well, everybody bleeds red, but I'm a Cincinnati. That doesn't mean anything. But I'm a huge Cincinnati Reds fan, huge fan of the city of Cincinnati. I love it.
Do you go back a lot?
I can. Yeah. I go back probably 5-6 times a year, either for gigs or other gigs.
So what's the best comedy club that you savor when you go back to Cincinnati?
I mean, Go Bananas Comedy Club is where I started. It's in Cincinnati. That's where I started the open mic contests, all that good stuff. And then, but they've got a couple funny bones there that are awesome. And there, they don't mind if you headline both. It's one of those cities that is cool about nurturing artists, where the funny bone won't go, well, if you're headlining Bananas, you can't be here. It's like there's two major clubs, so I'm glad they're cool about that, which is
any good Indian food?
There is really good Indian food in Cincinnati.
Don't lie to me.
You're
looking at me right here.
I will tell you right here, Mr. Kerala. What part of India is that?
I'm from Kerala.
Kerala.
Yeah, see?
That makes sense.
Those are my people.
Those are your people.
You must be from the north.
Yes, as far north as
Because I saw
gets,
that,
other
oh, you're
Jim
from
Kerala.
Kerala.
No, I performed in Kerala.
Wow.
In Kochi. I performed all over the south, but I performed in Kochi.
That's amazing.
I've been to your people's land of God.
And?
God's
country. Right. That's what they call
it. God's country, absolutely.
So let me ask you, let's talk Indian to Indian.
We went from LeBron
seconds.
To Kerala really fast. I don't know how that transition happened, but it's okay.
Only
Speaking
on
of
radio.
Greek gods and Hindu gods.
Where do you go for Indian food in Los Angeles?
I have found two that I think are good. I think, maybe you're going to laugh at me, but Flavor of India in Burbank is actually pretty good.
Okay.
And our white friends took us to a place called Gunga Din in Studio City on Ventura okay. Place, and it's quite good.
I'm gonna rock your world.
Please do. Because I've had good catered food here, but it's hard to find good Indian food.
I'm going to give you the best Indian food of your life.
Little Bangladesh?
Nope.
Somewhere there?
Nope.
Okay.
It's called Mayura.
Oh, I know where that is.
Venice
off of Venice, right? That's really good, too. That's
the
really
best.
Good, too.
The best.
Really
the best. Really good. It's the best.
But I'll name two restaurants in Cincinnati, Indian-wise, that take both of those. Take all
wow.
three of those. Yeah. There's a place called Umber, which is in Clifton, where I went to University of Cincinnati, and it's near campus. And there's a place called Bridge Mohan, which is all vegetarian food. And I'm an omnivore. I eat everything. So you take people, are like, there's no meat. You'll forget that meat exists. That place
I always
is
tell
amazing.
People, it's like, if I lived in India, I could just not eat meat.
Sure.
Yeah.
I swear.
Sure.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because the food is so good that you can just forget about eating meat. You can't.
That's true. Yeah. So we cook okra.
See?
Yeah.
Okra.
Yeah. Okra.
He hasn't had an okra in a while.
Yeah, no.
Okra. It's been a while.
Neither have you.
That's probably true. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so let's talk about your comedy. How did you get... Okay, first
of all... Oh, I thought that's
all,
what we were doing.
Let's talk...
I mostly talk about LeBron James.
Let's get real. Let's get real. You're Indian, I'm Indian. Most Indians are engineers or doctors.
True.
But here we are, two Indians, independent. We're two black sheeps.
Yes.
We'll say brown just to
two Oreo sandwiches, outside of the Oreo sandwich.
How did you decide to do comedy? What was the thing that made you go, I need to do this?
So I always think of that as a series of inflection points, and because I'm an engineer, I have to throw inflection points from calculus into this mix. I can't answer it in a non-nerdy way. I always think of that as, when is the first time you thought you were funny, and then when is the first time you ever even thought about doing stand-up, and then when did you do it, and then when did you realize, okay, I'm only going to do this? Oh, so I should answer those questions.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
all right, yeah,
yeah,
I was going to break it down.
Dude, if
question.
You need us to leave, just go.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, so Rajiv, how did you...
great question.
Yeah, I unpacked his sentence there. He's very efficient. Like I mentioned,
you turned my one question into four.
Into four. We're out of time. I got funny in third grade. I still remember when it happened. And I had to make a friend of mine laugh, and he said, you're not funny, you're just not... You're not going to make me laugh because you're just not funny. And one day I made him laugh with something so stupid, and like 9-year-old third grade kind of joke, and he laughed. And I go, Ryan, you laughed.
What was the joke?
It was dumb. It was like, you have to remember, we're 9 years old, and we're in the library. This is so stupid. I can't believe I'm even saying this. And there was a dinosaur exhibit, and Ryan Price, his name was, and Willie Slowick, who's actually out here now. But they're not comedians, they're civilians. And
they're normal folk.
They're normal folk. And he just starts singing some stupid song. He's like, die, 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 dinosaur. And I go, I don't want to die. And he laughed. And I go, you laughed! And it was the dumbest thing I think I'd said up to that point and after. Except telling it now on a podcast that people will actually hear. And he goes, okay, congratulations, you're funny. And, having the funny kid in class don you as you're a funny guy, that's a big deal.
You were like, this is... where it all opens up.
Right here, man. I went from throwing the crayons out the window, which is how I used to make people laugh. That still makes people laugh. If you were to open the window and I threw something out the window.
Well, you get girls, too, when you're funny. You know what I mean? That helps.
Absolutely.
The funny man can get the women. That's part of it. The class clown.
That was a long lag time between third grade and when I got women. But, yeah, that's fine.
So that just means you like honed in on the craft.
I honed in on the craft. You shouldn't be getting women in third grade because that means you're probably sleeping with a teacher. That's probably bad. Maybe girls.
Okay.
Yeah, you shouldn't be getting women. That's a crime, I think, if you're 9 and she's 18.
It's probably true.
Yeah, that's a crime. Let's not go there.
So you progressed into... into, you know, puberty and you evolve.
No, I was
past
puberty. We're Indian. I was well into puberty by third grade. Nikhil, don't let him get away with this. This guy had a mustache in third grade as well. Don't doubt it.
Did.
He had to shave in seventh grade. I had to shave in seventh grade.
It all happened
painful.
Really early. Yeah. Very
early. Absolutely. I needed to start using deodorant in sixth grade. That's a hard conversation.
You know what?
You know what?
That was like a glorifying moment. So
it was.
You know what? This is happening.
It was embarrassing to ask my dad to use that. I don't know. I just, I was very embarrassed. A very hard thing to work up to ask my dad. I just felt like he would think it's just too manly. Mm-hmm. You know? This became very sad all of a sudden. I don't know what the hell. Yeah, there's my keys. I'm going to leave. It's supposed to be a comedy show, right?
Dude, by the way, you have like a rape whistle.
I do have a rape whistle. I mentioned this yesterday, I think it was, because going to India, like we were talking about, like it can be dangerous. You know, you can get raped or murdered.
Yep.
Well, but rape is kind of a compliment.
But
like anybody can get murdered. Not everybody can get raped. Are you off the air now officially? It's over. I ruined my career.
Let me ask you a question about that whistle for a second.
Yeah.
It can't be that comfortable in your pocket. Let's be honest.
You know, there's nothing next to it that takes up a lot of room. So I've got plenty of room in my pocket. So yeah, there's really no problem there at all. You better be. If you're going to do a rape joke, make sure your next joke is self-deprecating. Don't be a cocky ass after that. It's going to be all downhill.
All right, so you evolved
past puberty.
I'm funny.
I'm high school, get through that whole thing. I watched maybe 5 stand-up comics before I ever tried to do stand-up. Wow. And I'm not even that big of a consumer of stand-up even now, and I've been doing it for 14 years. I watch it every now and then, but I like to watch stories and dramas and comedies too. But I entered a contest at Go Bananas in Cincinnati. My brother found an article in the Cincinnati Inquirer.
We
you read about it.
Read
it online. And I won it. Like, I made the semis the next year I won it. Oh. And my brother was like, you should try it. Like, I've been writing material, and he said, why don't you go for it? And that brother now actually beat me to late night because he was on Seth Meyers about 5 weeks ago.
That's amazing.
Plugging his
That's
his
crazy.
Yeah,
wow.
Pretty crazy. He crushed it, too. It was good. Got a text from Russell Peters, Canadian guy right there, saying your brother crushed you.
I met Russell
Myers.
Peters.
Great
good dude.
Guy.
He's a good dude.
Great guy. Yeah. Great guy. Absolutely. Faux show.
You're like, yeah, you are Canadian.
Isn't that the guy from Source Code?
I don't know. Was that?
Yeah, he was in Source Code. He was. With, is that Jake Gyllenhaal? No, Jake Gyllenhaal, right? Yeah. I remember when he was filming that. Yeah. Faux show. You like how I turned to the white guy and said, you must know Russell Peters. I didn't look at you and go, you must know Russell Peters.
But I already knew Russell Peters.
I figured he did.
So let me ask you this. You do Go Bananas. You win the competition.
Yeah.
And then tell me about this conversation you had with your parents. You're like, listen, that engineering degree, ha ha ha.
That you paid for. Joke's on you. That's the first joke. Hope you liked it. That first joke bombed. And then didn't work out. No, I started doing it on the side. I worked at Procter & Gamble. And so I started doing it in earnest right around maybe the age of 26. And then at age 30, I flipped out. And I was like, I've been in Ohio my entire life. And it's a great state. But I need to explore other options.
There's more
to life than Ohio. Where are you from?
I'm from here.
You're from here?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw Chicago Blues.
Because I went to Chicago.
Okay. I've been to Chicago.
Chicago's awesome.
I'll be there this month for shows. So it's
look
great.
At you.
I love Chicago. It's great. Three shows.
So you went to your mom and dad and said,
Well, I flipped out, turned 30, and I got a job at Fiji Water out here in Los Angeles. And I came out here and I did that job. And everybody said, oh, you're going to be a stand-up. I'm like, I'm going to go be a marketer. That's what I'm going to do. And everybody saw it before I did. And I worked at Fiji for 12 weeks, jumped ship, and spent about a month trying to figure out who I am. What am I going to do? And my dad was like, you're not thinking about going into stand-up, right? Like, full-time. I'm like, no, of course not. And by the end of the month, I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. And they actually just left. My parents are on their way to LAX right now. They came out here for a short visit, 3 weeks.
That's awesome.
Indian parents, 3 weeks. That's a very short visit. Anything that you can end with weeks instead of months.
That's the definition.
The reason I ask is, like, you know, being Indian myself, like, I had that conversation with my parents. Like, hey, mom, dad, I want to be in a rock band.
Yeah,
and it was like, I remember the crickets and just like the, even my older brother,
Buddy Holly,
you know,
crickets.
He was like staring at me like, really, dude? You know, but now seeing all the years and they were there from the very beginning, but to see them turn, you know, and get behind me, a lot of people are like, man, how do you do this? And I'm like, that to me was the hardest part.
It is.
Because nobody understands growing up with Indian parents, the expectations for academics and going into that world. is crazy.
I mean, they would even
compare. I know you've heard this before because he's Rajiv. You're just gonna agree with me right now.
I will.
As a kid, I know your parents were like, "Well, Santosh is getting straight A's right now. What are you doing in school?" You know, like whoever it is.
We're very track oriented, right? You don't want to lose any time. It's like you're on a track of pre-med and med school and residency and fellowship, and so you're going against like. Whatever you're making comedy, you think about whether it's medicine or engineering or Procter & Gamble or wherever you came from, this is what I would have been making, you know, plus profit sharing or what all the stuff that you're leaving on the table. And so, I mean, I'm aware of that, too. Like, I mean, it's parents feed that, but they're also looking out for your best interests,
right.
You know, because it's just like so few people actually make it.
But it's
really
the
hard.
Weird thing, too, it's like it's they are. Every parent is. I think every parent shares in this. Like when it comes to you know their kids being artists or doing something like sports even too, it's like there's this 1% chance that you know they'll have this sense of affluence, but it's this sense of happiness that most people forget is far greater than you know this like you know I know plenty of wealthy people that are miserable, and I know people that are just so happy doing what they do as artists and. That's like what it's about, you know. People forget what that's really.
I think it's taken a long time for that idea to trickle down, like trickle down economics, like trickle down from like the cliche of money doesn't buy happiness to really internalizing that when people are starting to see. I mean, honestly, suicide rates, depression, anxiety, they're like, wow, maybe it isn't all that it's cracked up to be. And I think that's only now in the last few years starting to permeate because people are like, deep down they would go, yeah. And then they'd be like, yeah, but if I had all that money, I'd be able to handle it. Like they just, now I think there's an awareness of like, maybe you wouldn't be able to. Like when, I think now with people having material things and living, there was some comic who did a bit about, maybe it was Neil Brennan. I'm trying to remember who did the bit about, are people even breaking into people's houses anymore? Like, maybe to do drugs, but what are you going to steal? Like, now TVs are $300. Like, I mean, like, people now live like ballers. I mean, you've got the L-shaped couch, you got the flat screen TV, you got a smartphone, you've got, I mean, cars now do incredible things besides just drive. They got great features. So everybody's standard of life has gone up, but everybody's, a lot of people are still very anxious, very depressed, even more than usual. So it's really, I don't know. I think that idea, which, maybe now finally that's starting to enter the bubble of the Indian community of
well that's
maybe
well that's
gotta
be a very gratifying thing for you like,
it is.
Like being a comedian because you know that you're very self-aware you're aware of a society going through this but you're like okay I want to show people a great time and I'm gonna make them laugh and you one thing I've always known about you you are sharp I mean you you are like there are good comedians and there are great comedians and I feel like the difference is that like being sharp? You know what I mean? Like the speed of not just being flagrant in your thought or your joke, but being strategic and fast and in like intelligent and also just ridiculous. It's all that combination, and you got that. Like,
wow, jeez! So, I'm glad I came tonight. Wow,
so, see, look at this, high praises.
Wow, jeez, I'm already here, man.
So, what was the first LA club that you played?
I'll say one more thing about your parents going from. I call that going. From supporters to believers, right? So your supporters are your friends and your family, people who kind of have to be like, yeah, we're going to go to a show. Yeah. But there's something that happens in their eyes where they're like, you're good at this.
Yes.
You know, like, and they're, and you know, and my latest tour, whatever, my parents were here for it. And, you know, they laugh and they have a good time. But when you go home, that's when they'll kind of be like, so yeah, that was interesting. Or this time they were, you know, my mom was just like, wow, that was really... That was something. And she said that before. It wasn't the first time. But it was like, wow, that was really, really good.
And you're like, this is why I do this.
This is why I do this.
I live for that.
You know, when people say, it's kind of a... It's not a backhanded compliment, but it sounds like when people are like, wow, that was better than you're better than I thought you would be.
Right.
Yes, and I feel like I get from Dimitri that he's a nice guy. I know you're a nice guy. I think a lot of time people think like dicks will be funnier, right? If the guy was just kind of an a-hole, you're like, oh, that guy's good. But because we're nice, warm people, I think there's that surprise of like, oh, he's also funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think they associate genius with aloofness and I'm not calling myself a genius, but I'm just saying.
Hey,
like, anything
why not? Let's call all
you
three of us.
You practically did.
You
know?
Nikki does it.
I think I did, yeah.
No worries.
I think I just did.
Actually, that's like my Netflix code name is Nikki, the great genius.
His producer.
I like it a lot.
What was the first club that you played here?
So I did a place called The Gig on Melrose, which is no longer there. My name was on the marquee in lights, the very, very first show I ever did. And then it took years for that to happen again. It was just like God smiling down, like before I even left Fiji Water. And they spelled my name wrong, by the way. So that was kind of like a bittersweet. How could they misspell Rajiv Sathyal? And then, you know, retrospect, they left out, it was S-A-T-Y-A-L, and they left out the Y. And I think that's what I, maybe they wanted me to go, why? Maybe that's what it really was. You like, puns, Dimitri.
They spelled Rajiv right?
They spelled Rajiv right, which was good. So I should have just kind of cut the picture right there.
Because Nikhil Karula, I've had, you know, I still have moments where when they release a festival bill or something,
there's
this moment, I know you know this
I
moment.
Do.
Where it's like,
spell it right.
I hope they spelled my name right. And you cringe like opening it because you're so used to it getting messed up and butchered.
Yeah. It is. And it's so bittersweet then. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got this credit, but your name is spelled wrong. And no, it is, though. It bothers you. It takes some shine off the apple.
It's funny. It's some shine off the apple.
Shine off
the apple. I like that.
That's a good
see that?
Like
shine
that
off
too.
The apple. Yeah.
You like the shine or the apple?
I like the shine off the apple.
I like the shine off the apple.
So you did the gig, and then did you do, like, any of the big Comedy Store, Laugh Factory?
I did the Laugh Factory. A guy named, we just met Jay Moore, Jay Davis, who is a comic who's been out here a long time, great promoter, also has Ohio ties. He's claims Florida, but he was in Middletown, which is where Hillbilly Elegy was from, if you saw that or read that book. And he gave me a spot, very nice of him, a 5-minute cold open on the hottest show in Hollywood at the time, and it was Tuesdays at 10 p.m. And I did one spot, and I crushed, and I didn't do stand-up for a while after that. And
why?
It's hard to get spots.
Yeah,
and so
it's really ridiculous.
But the funny thing, it's like that Seinfeld, the race, where it's like, I choose not to run. Like, you won one race, and that was it. And people started to come up to me like, wow, I heard you're pretty funny, because you just crush one spot in front of everyone. And I was like, wow, who's that guy who just hangs out? Like, no, he's pretty funny. Like, I saw him, like, I heard he crushed this, you know. And that's kind of my advice, people. Like, oh, get up as much as you can. I'm like, no, just crush one time and just kind of let the track breathe.
I like that.
That is cool.
That's the first time I ever heard that.
Yeah, it's probably the erroneous advice. But I think people are dying to get up at the Hollywood Improv and the Comedy Store. And I saw you at the House of Blues, which is no more, but it was Comedy Store.
Dude, that broke my heart when they yanked that thing
I thought
down.
Of you when I heard that. I was like,
you know what's funny?
I was
looking up an email.
Yeah.
I was looking up your email today when I was sending you the email about the show tonight. And I saw your email saying, hey, man, I wanted some tickets for House of Blues. And I was like, man, we go way back.
Way back.
I mean, it's
dude.
it's just amazing. It's like
House of Browns.
That's
right, son.
Give me the brown paw. Yeah.
Brown paw.
Looking left out.
Dimitri is so sad.
Dimitri's like,
right now.
God, I hate being white.
I know.
He's like, I'm just the stuffing and the Oreo cookie tonight.
The really, really big stuff.
That's right. Or big stuff. Isn't that big stuff Oreos?
Big stuff. You're the big stuff, dude.
Literally.
My
new producer.
That's good. Big, the big stuff.
Hey, so let's go a little bit into your comedy. So what do you want us to play? Because I want people to hear you.
Wow. Okay. So I was talking to Dimitri. You can play the doctor's bit from the Laugh Factory, or you can play How to Not Get Deported, which is a sketch. I'm trying to think if that will work just audio.
Well, we're going
to
play a couple.
Yeah.
So you just
maybe
like
try the
one,
doctor's
two, three.
One.
We'll go one.
Sure.
One in the order.
That's, I don't know. How long do you want the clip to be?
Like 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, that's good. Perfect. I think it's about that. Okay, cool.
Right,
hopefully it'll work. Any doctors here tonight? Any doctors? Yeah? What kind of doctor are you, sir?
A surgeon.
You're a surgeon? Wow. Serious. That is serious. What do you surge?
You don't
want to
know.
I don't know. I do want to know. I apparently can't ask questions here tonight. That's great. So, are you working? Should I start there? That's not a good. I should use the exact same question. Would we have seen you in anything? Okay. We would have seen you in someone, actually. That is possible. It is surgery. Not that way, or it'd be sexual harassment. But you know what I mean. The person is asleep. Are you Bill Cosby? That wasn't the question. That's not where I was going with that. All right. Very nice. Very good. Bill Cosby joke. Gotta laugh. This is good. You guys are a good crowd. All right. Hitler, Bill Cosby can do no wrong up here tonight. This is good. Okay. You guys are loose. I like it. Okay. So what do you?
I'm a microsurgeon.
A microsurgeon. So surgery on guys my height and smaller.
Exactly.
Like basically 5'6", there's a tinier. Because it's like operation, you have to really kind of be, the guy's really big like the dude back there, but 2 1/4. You need a macro surgeon, really. Right?
I think you
I got it. Okay, good. I'm getting there. You know, the set picks up. I'd like to start slow, but I like to pick it up. All right, cool. Very cool. He operates on penises? Microsurgeon. So in this case, especially a microsurgeon. Absolutely true. It's really, yeah.
Remember when I said my wife was always right?
Yeah, that's it. You even make the operation sound. That was true.
I screwed up a lot when I was young.
I see that. I see that. I like that. Okay. I went to school to be a doctor because, I mean, obviously, you know. And I was pre-med. I was pre-med for a couple of years, and now I'm post-med. I just, you know, I just skipped the med part. Really, that's where the work is. You know,
come to my office.
I will come to your office. I will come there because I want to see what a doctor does. See, when we can see you're an actor, we can see your work. We can watch Parenthood and determine whether you're a good actor, right? We could go, oh yeah, you know, pretty good. But with you, I don't know what a doctor's job is. I don't get the job. I don't get it. Because I go there, I go to a doctor's office, and then the nurse comes out, and she does, or he does, basically 90% of the job, right? It's a lot of it. Take your temperature, weight, vital signs, make sure you're alive, give you the cheat sheet. Honestly, the nurse has done a lot of the work. It's crazy. Do we have any nurses here tonight? No Filipinos? Okay, so nothing like that, right? It's true, it's true. There are a lot of nurses. I'm glad, though, no groans. That's good. We're past groans. It's not bad to be a nurse. But it's odd that they're nurses and they're registered nurses. That's an odd thing, that they're the only people who are registered. Well, sex offenders and them, basically. It's really, I don't know if it's the same registry. I don't know what's really going on with that, to be honest. But then you come in, the doctor comes in. But I've never had a more than a two-minute appointment. Lots of things in my life are that way. But more than a two-minute appointment with a doctor. And doctors keep leaving the room. I've never had a doctor sit down. Right? They keep leaving the room. At least once, if not twice, a doctor leaves that little room. I don't know, where are you going? Bathroom. You can't hold it.
A lot of iced teas at lunch.
I guess so. I just don't understand that. I don't know if you're looking up stuff on WebMD or you Googling it. I think you are. I think you don't know the answer. Really, I can't do that here. I can't go, wait a second, and then run out and, oh, that's the joke. I have to come up with it now. I can't. It's odd. And then you headline. You do surgery. That's your headlining. That's your big gig. And then you knock us out for that. We can't even see you surge. We cannot see you do surgery. That's going to be, I'm telling you, that's going to be on ChapChat. It's ChapChat. I get SnapChat, whatever it is. Too old. I can't even figure it out. I can't even say it like that. But that's, we don't even see you do that. You don't even knock us out. And the anesthesiologist does that work. You don't even do that. And then we come to, and then we need medicine, and a pharmacist gives us the pills. What do you do? You guys are event planners, really. You're general contractors. That's the job. I don't know what the job. I should have been a doctor. I don't get it. I do not get the job. It's an odd job.
Yeah. Dude.
That was awesome.
Went straight for the doctor joke.
Right in, man. Right in. That was good. That was a fun night, man. Thank you for letting me relive that. Not all nights are that fun.
So do you, like, let me ask you a question. Like, a lot of comics, they'll hone in on jokes and just kind of, like, whittle them down. Or do you kind of, like, ask people what they do and kind of, like, improvise and keep that live energy? Like, what's your best strategy when you go out there and perform?
I like that bit because I feel like it's a bit of both, right? I feel like that is material that I do about doctors, but that was also weaved in as crowd work. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that was, I mean, not to jock myself, but since you asked, I mean, I think the operation thing was like, wow, I came up with, you really make that sound in real life. Like, that was a callback to crowd work. That doesn't happen very often. And that was also a gift, right? That guy was an awesome participant. He was kind of a positive heckler. You don't get that very often. Either get people too drunk to really be coherent, mm-hmm. or they kind of clam up, or it becomes a competition. It's like, this guy was almost like a plant. Mm-hmm. He wasn't. I didn't know who he was. But that was just one of those nights of magic. I mean, there are a lot of nights you have that are not magical at all.
Have you ever had like a crazy heckler?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of a time where it was really, really bad. Not really. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty good at dealing with hecklers. I mean, the thing is with hecklers, you have to let them zing you a couple times. Like in the beginning, I went in too early, and even though I'm kind of a small guy or whatever, people would kind of be like, wow, you're sort of a bully. Like, you're kind of a dick. The guy would just talk to you and just bit his head off. So you need to let him zing you a couple times so the audience gets a little uncomfortable, like, well, that guy shut up and I'm trying to watch the show.
Right.
And you need that wave to sort of build, and then you knock it down. So there's kind of a building aspect to it. there was a guy, it was maybe 2-3 years ago, and he seemed like relatively new to stand-up, just the way he was standing and whatever and doing his thing, but he said, you know, when I had sex for the first time, and some woman from the crowd goes, yesterday? And the police is laughing for a long time. And you could see, or I could at least tell, and you're an artist too, you could probably tell, he had the line, like, right there. But he wrote it out perfectly, and then he just goes, I'm glad you remember. And it was like, bam. Nice. Had he gotten it too early, like, he clearly didn't have a big ego, because it wasn't like, I'm going to show you how fast I am. It's like, you know what? Here's what's good for the show.
It's the restraint.
The restraint. And your job up there is to get laughs. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who gives the crowd the laughs. You're going to get the credit for it.
Yeah.
You're on stage. It's like a president. Whatever happens on, you were talking about Trudeau or Trump or whatever happens on their watch, they're ultimately, whether it's because of them or not. So if he stands there and gets 20 to 25 seconds of nonstop laughter and then he hits her, and he's able to convey to the back of the room or other comics, like, I know he had that line. And you're like, the experts know this guy had it and he had the patience. You know, and you see that with Johnny Carson's old stuff and stuff like that, where you're like, man, that's where they let the track breathe, son. They don't just go in. This brings me to my next question.
Like, who are some of your biggest influences? You mentioned Johnny Carson.
Nikhil Karula.
Hey, absolutely, man. How you doing?
There it is. Influence-wise, I would say... it's such a pretentious answer, but I feel like I've always been impressed by people who can sort of bend the English language and make points like you. I think you were
foreigners?
Talking about like not being yes, foreigners. My dad. That's a very good way of putting that. I got to include that. That's funny. Not being so flagrant or blatant, but finding that line.
Right.
And so it's people like Mark Twain and Gandhi and Einstein and people have this like witticisms, and you're like, man, that's really good. And it wasn't necessarily laugh out loud funny, but you're going, wow, you can word things in such a way to get a point across. Because Chris Rock once said, your jokes are not smart if only smart people get them. And I was
like
oh, that's
that.
Good,
that's
man.
That's awesome.
And when I started, a lot of people would say that to me, you're too smart for the room. And it's not a compliment. It's like the backhanded couple we're talking about. It's not a compliment. They mean it that way, but really it's that you haven't figured out how to put the joke in a way that a lot of people will understand. And you're kind of showing off like, oh, I'm this really smart guy. And even though it may not be, you may not be aware of it.
It isolates you
and it's kind of betraying sort of an insecurity, like, I'm going to show these people how smart I am, even if it's not present. So I had to deal with that and be like, man, I think you're showing off a little. Like, you gotta not bring it down. Like, that's condescending.
No, but
you gotta
like,
put it in a different way.
It's like Einstein says, if you can't break something down very simply, you don't understand it.
You don't understand that.
So it's like that re-understanding, you know, like rehashing the depths of all the, you know, degrees of how you can understand the craft is everything.
What you're trying to do is, because if you tell jokes and only like three people are laughing at each one, and they'll come up to you and they'll love you, but that's not your job. Your job is to make the whole room laugh and then make maybe three or four people laugh particularly hard.
Right.
And those are your true friends, but you still have to make everybody laugh.
You know, the one thing that I love about interviewing comedians, it's really made me understand the craft. And the craziest part of what you do is there are no rehearsals. You have no rehearsals.
Open
you
mic.
Can sit there. Nah, but really, you're still that's still a performance. You're still whittling a joke in a performance setting. Like, I can write a song and go, okay, this is gonna have a thing. And then when I perform it, I'll have an idea. Like, okay, it's gonna have a reaction that I can gauge.
Right.
But with a joke, there's so many degrees of how people are gonna get it. Like what you said. So your performance is the rehearsal.
That's a really. Well, yeah, our job is really that hard. Nobody thinks about that. Louis C.K. mentioned that a comic's biggest fear isn't really bombing. It's being boring. And he's so right about that. Like, I think there are times where you really swing for the fences, or if you play golf, it's an intent, and, you know, you lose a stroke or whatever, and that's fine. You look stupid, but it's still kind of funny or whatever. But I think just going and just talking and people kind of going, and it's that subtle. I know this is audio for the podcast or the show, but it's people kind of like looking at their watch or kind of like, you know, or like if you ever try to talk to a girl at a bar, it's not like if she makes fun of you to your face, like, ah, you're a loser. Like, that's almost like, well, you're just a bitch. Like, that's right. That's not, that doesn't make me feel bad. That makes me feel sorry that you have to be that mean.
Right. Right?
That never happened to me. but it's the kind of like where she's kind of like elbowing her friend, like, let's get out of here. That hurts way worse. It's right. That subtle sort of diss. Mm. And it's a crowd kind of getting up to go to the bathroom or checking their phones, or you can tell that they're shifting in their seats and they're getting bored.
Well, it's also like
right now.
Audiences.
Exact same thing.
Audiences are like, they're unrelenting with comedians.
Yeah, because
you can win them over for 30 minutes of your set, and then 7 minutes, you're going without a laugh, and people are like, he was just okay. And it's like, oh my God, no.
I think like 2 minutes.
You think less?
Oh, yeah, 7's long. Like, because the show we're doing now is all about music, actually. And there's a part where I'm talking about the 1990s and how music changed, and Taylor, the musician with whom I'm touring, he's like, you've earned it at this point. Like, we've given him so many laughs, so many songs. You can pull out the soapbox. And I was actually going to bring an actual soapbox and stand on it and do it that way. But it's like, man, after 30 to 60 seconds of no laughs, they're kind of restless. And you're like, man, how many laughs do I... Like, are you not entertained? Yeah. Like, how many... Like, I've made you laugh for 30 minutes already. Yeah. Like, you need... you can't give me five minutes, but... It's a comedy show, man. No, it's you're getting them to emote one way the entire time. It's a comedy show.
But I also love that as a performer myself. It's like, I also love that energy of like trying to prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you see that you have fans in the audience, that's a very easy audience to perform to.
It is.
But it's that, you know, the person that's crossing their arms, like, you know, hanging out with friends that you're like, okay, they're not going to give me the time of day as far as opening themselves to it, you know. And then when you do win them over, it's the best feeling on the planet, you know. So I always find that I grow way more, not to the audiences that know me and have been there. It's the audiences that I have to prove myself. Like, those are the shows I remember the most, you know what I mean?
We bond according to our similarities and we grow according to our differences.
Ooh, who said that?
I don't know, but I love dichotomies, and that was one. It was one of those... Yeah, one of those quotes of the day things. I was like, wow, that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to a little bit more of your comedy. What are we going to play next?
Hopefully this will play an audio format. I haven't really tried to do it, but it's a video called How to Not Get Deported. Hopefully it's not too dated. Now it kind of isn't as funny because 2 points.
Almost.
Close. Because it was before the election, and we're teaching Mexicans to pass as Indians so they don't get deported.
Interesting.
That's the setup.
All right, here we go.
Hey Mexicans, Donald Trump may become president. Want to avoid deportation? Just become Indian. I'm Indian, and you can be too, in these simple steps.
O, we, V, X, Y, Z.
Juan Wilder. The dancers. With the Wolves.
Shabash.
Dress like an Indian.
You know, we can work with your relaxed style, but how do you feel about plaid shirts and hiked up pants?
Eat like an Indian.
Hey, hold up, pendejo. I'm not gonna give up my comida.
You don't have to. You just need to eat it like an Indian does. Watch this. Hot sauce. Taco Bell.
Dance like an Indian.
We're at Taco Bell in that last clip.
All right. Twist the light bulb.
Gotta teach him how to dance like an Indian.
Cat the dog. All right.
Work like an Indian?
So he's trimming plants in our office.
What are you doing,
so racist.
I'm a gardener, I'd say.
Put these down. Come with
me. I teach him how to do customer service.
Customer support, yeah.
Let's hear your Indian name.
Thank you for be calling today. My name is Roger Smith.
Shabash.
Assimilate like an Indian.
No. You gotta go over-the-top American. You know, like we did after 9/11.
Because Indians were rocking all sorts of American flags after 9/11.
That's it.
We dress them up as a Trump fan.
Now, let's see how this works.
walking down the street. He sees a police officer. Throws him up against the car. He checks out his paperwork.
Yeah. Your papers, please. Oh, expired H1. You must be Indian.
And now, for the real test.
He sees a couple aunties.
Kavita grocery kahan hai?
Oh, yes, Dana.
So he speaks Hindi. And they do the head nod.
Jorge, you've done fantastic. Good luck being Indian. Great job.
You mean shabash.
So he finally gets the Indian lingo down of shabash. I was right. That wasn't as much of an audio joke, but hey.
Hey, you know what?
Have to narrate a little bit.
Swing for the fences.
Swing for the fences.
Let me ask you this. So being an Indian comic, your website is The Funny Indian.
Yeah, funnyindian.com.
So how did you come up with that?
Very, very carefully. That's a
no, but
a
you were thinking about a market. Like, you're like, okay, how am I going
to... How did I beat a billion Indians to an internet property?
That's what I'm saying.
Was the tough thing. Yeah, to me, it was just like a really functional name that made sense, and it says everything you want it to say, and I like the ring of it. I kind of moved away from it for a while and then returned to it. I'm like, I don't know. That's kind of hacky. Then it's like, dude, just own it. Like, if you're, it's hacky to like half own something. But I feel like if you commit and just go in, and even if you're ironic about it, just be the funny Indian.
What if the Russell Peters is like, damn, he got it.
He's like, I'm the funnier Indian.
Have you ever done a show with anybody like that? Any Indian comedians?
I opened for Russell about 30 times.
Wow.
Yeah, he gave me my start, actually.
That's
like,
amazing.
He took me all over the country, and he actually performed at our wedding as a friend, which
That's
was great.
Awesome.
I proposed to my girlfriend opening for Kevin Nealon, which is what I was telling Jay Moore, because they're neighbors, and he thought that was super cool, which it was awesome of Nealon to let me do that. And then Russell Peters performed at our wedding.
That's awesome.
And it was like, so even my personal life has this sort of comedic art to it, to it, which is kind of cool.
And your parents are probably like, Russell Peters.
Yeah, it was a big deal for them, too. I think that was like, it was kind of validation, right? Like, he's the big dog out there. It's like, wow, my son has him performing at the wedding. And
I met him at a club and after one of his shows, and I was like, hey, man, I just want to let you know, I'm about to perform at the Apollo Theater. And he's like, dude, I performed at the Apollo. And I was like, I know. I read your bio. And he's like, and I was like, yeah, man. And I was born in Canada. And he's like, dude, I'm Canadian. And I was like, I know, dude. And I'm like, and I'm Indian. So he's like, dude, I'm Indian. I was like, I know,
that
bro.
We definitely know.
And then he was like, you're a musician. Like, dude, I DJ. And I'm like, what? And he was like, that was the one shocker. I was like, you DJ? I thought you were a comedian. And he's like, yeah, man, I'm totally into DJing.
Yeah.
So my question is, have you ever heard him DJ?
At our wedding.
Wow.
So I asked our DJ in advance. I was like, do you mind if Russell hops on the ones and twos? Or it's a computer, so it's zeros and ones. And you got to get permission, right? Because this is this guy's equipment, and it's like, you know. So I go, well, not equipment. It wasn't that kind of wedding. But he goes, no, it'd be an honor. Like, it'd be so cool if he did. And he did. He stuck to our playlist. Like, you know, I'm very, very specific. So the tour I'm doing is called Taking a Stand. And you can get information on funnyindian.com. We're going to go to, we still have Chicago left, Cincinnati, Dallas, Houston, and San Francisco. Those are where we're still going. We've done 8 shows. We have 10 to go. And it's all about music and all that good stuff. But we had a very specific playlist, and I talk about this at the opening of the show, and he stuck to it. I mean, he threw in his own kind of rhythm and his style, but he crushed it, and he's a very good DJ.
I've heard that. That's why I'm like, dude, I've never heard this. So.
He's excellent.
It's amazing.
He's really good.
That's amazing. All right, let's play one more clip. What do we got?
What else do we want to go with? Go with maybe the beginning of one of the clips. You could probably do... the Hermosa Beach one.
Hermosa Beach.
It's probably bottom left somewhere. That might not be bad. It's a little dated, maybe, but...
What do you got there, Dimitri?
We got...
You got him sweating bullets over here.
Yeah, I know.
I love how we got the white guy on the computer, by the way. I know. Nikhil just posted up. Like, he could probably do it without looking. Like, I was narrating that video. I haven't seen that in 6 months. I'm like, okay, I think this is what's happening now.
It's not just nice to see white people sweat. So
hosting a wedding event... Indian invasion comedy.
Yeah, okay, fine. Do Indian invasion comedy.
Let's
it's very old. It's 10 years old. But I think it'll it might be a little hacky in 2017, but so what? It was hacky in 2017.
How you doing? You guys all right? Woo! Got some white people here tonight, huh? Some white people? All right, yeah, sweet. All right, in the back. You're looking at me like, what, are we outsourcing stand-up comedy to India now, too? Or what the hell? Where are my Indians at? A lot of Indians here tonight, huh? Punjabis? Sweet, I'm Punjabi. They're not selling drinks and you're still here. That's unbelievable. I can't believe it. Gujaratis in the house? Gujaratis? Well, so they gave away free tickets then, obviously. I love you guys. I just hate playing you in Monopoly, okay? You end up owning all the hotels, right? I'm from the Midwest. People ask me if it's tough growing up. All right, Midwest. People ask me if it's tough growing up in Southwest Ohio with the name Rajiv Kumar Sathyal. I was the only kid whose name was never called during roll call. You ever feel this? It would go alphabetically. It'd be like David Sanders, here. Casey Sargent, here. Yeah, that's me. I didn't have a name. That's like my symbol, a pause and a frown, right? Felt like Prince. Yeah. We'd watch TV in class. Anytime anyone, any shade of brown came on the tube, all my friends would turn to me like, Raj, what are they saying? What are they saying? Man, I don't know. That guy's Mexican. And he's speaking English. That's not fair. They always do that, right? They do like subtitles for us. Does that bother you? As Indians, like, they're like, you know, you'll be talking like this and they'll give you subtitles. Meanwhile, like a redneck from the south, like, hey, now when the tornado came over and took the tornado, like, what the heck is he saying? Give him subtitles, man. What are you talking about? Other place I never understood what was going on was in Mandir, in temple. A lot of the white people are like, what's that? It's like our temple, right? And they would, you know, I went every Sunday. And I gotta be careful, like, doing Hindu jokes. I'm Hindu, right? But Hindus get all up in arms, like six arms. If you, we're very peaceful people. We have no beef with anyone. Seriously, that's what we don't eat. Food.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you. Wow. Very cool.
I
took down memory lane.
Dude, that was great.
Thanks,
man. Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you make fun of all of us. You know, it's like you're not picking sides.
Absolutely, man. Go all in.
So where can people find you if they want to book you or if they want to watch YouTube clips?
Yeah.
Slow down.
I'm happy with that website, RajivSathyal.com. It's funnyindian.com actually redirects to it. And it's got some testimonials, some videos, and some fun pictures of people I met. We've got to put Jay Moore up there now. You know, put Nikhil and Dimitri up there.
That's right.
So absolutely, man.
Rajiv,
so,
you've been an awesome guest.
Thank
you. I want to definitely have you back.
Love to come back.
You're going to have to tour, go see the land.
Absolutely.
But come right back man, you were a fantastic guest.
I appreciate it.
I know there's a lot more
host
to your journey. So thank you for coming down and being on Wake Up Hollywood, man.
Great to be at Wake Up Hollywood. Thanks for having me.
And Dimitri coming all the way from Canada just to do our show tonight.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's my wife was born in Canada.
Yeah.
Well, we're not all perfect. I'm just kidding. I was born in Canada. Same with Russell Peters. Anyways, on behalf of Dimitri, myself, and Rajiv, we'll see you guys next week.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence right here on LA Talk Radio.